Welcome to Mastering Your 30s, a podcast to guide women in their 30s about how to relax, enjoy the ride, and make investments for their future health, wealth, and well-being, and for women beyond their 30s to share their wisdom and experience with others. I am Alev Bakan, a health and nutrition coach and founder of Health & Co. Today, my guest is Hege Jacobsen, who is a former female military officer, veteran, and master of political science, who changed her life's path in 2020. She left the service to become a solopreneur, a full-time traveler, and started the travel blog The World by Hege, and moved to Havana, Cuba. Now, a few years later, she has also become a certified transformational coach with the Power to Pivot coaching, helping women find their power to thrive. A TEDx speaker about communicating with the traveler's mindset, and her blog is growing day by day. What impressed me the most about Hege's story is her ability to travel alone. As someone who even struggles to eat alone in a restaurant, I find solo travelers to be like superheroes. If you are like me and feel intimidated by solo traveling, I hope Hege's story will inspire you to give it a try. And if you are already a seasoned solo traveler, I would love to hear your tips and tricks. Hi, Hege, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm really good, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us about yourself a little bit?
Yeah, my name is Hege. Mm-hmm. I'm from Norway. I'm in Norway right now. And today we have, at this time of year, I would prefer to be in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But as life happens, I have to stay here for a couple of months to fix up a few things. But the last few years, since around 2020, I have been a full-time traveler and entrepreneur, and I have created a travel blog that is called The World by Hege, which is focusing on travel in the Caribbean and travel in the Americas. Mm-hmm. And also this summer, I have become a certified coach, ICF certified coach. So I have also launched my coaching service, which is called The Power to Pivot. Mm-hmm. And before these 3 years, I have a career in the army behind me. So I have around over 20 years in the Norwegian army, where I have done higher military education. I have a master of political science, and I have worked a lot abroad, deployed, and also here in my country. So that was my life for a lot of years. And that's more a lifestyle, I think, because it takes a lot of your time and attention having that kind of life or work when you have to travel and to go into places in the world that most people don't really need to go. Mm. So it's been an extremely interesting, rewarding career and life. Mm-hmm. But in around 2018, 2019 is when I had this inner process where I started thinking about all the things that I don't do with my life and with my time, and that I felt it was time to change my focus a little bit. And so I did that via, I took a 6-month solo journey in South America in 2019. And when I returned from that, I kind of realized that, you know, this has changed me. Mm-hmm. So something has to change, something like really big has to change. And that is a little bit of a scary situation. You know, it's a transformation to leave something that is so familiar and very safe and financially safe, and then just to jump off of a cliff. That's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And start doing something completely new. And I wasn't an analog person, you know. I didn't know anything about computers or software or programs or all the things that I needed to learn. And I think it was good luck for me that I didn't know all the things that I needed to learn, because, you know, my because it's been a lot. But so for the last 3 years, I'm now I have two travel blogs right now. Just one that is a baby, and one that I'm running, and starting out as an entrepreneur and coach. And I want to help women who have had, or who have like are 10 years behind me, who know that they need to change something. Something is not fulfilling in their life, and they just don't know exactly what to change and how to change it. Because I have done that journey, and I know how rewarding it is when you come out on the other side and you found kind of, if not the purpose of life, but a purpose in life, or several purposes in life that you, that give you value and give you meaning every day. So that's where I am at right now.
Yes, that's very interesting, because when you think about army, army is a very like structured, like limiting environment, and traveling, especially traveling solo, requires is a lot of freedom, and sometimes too much freedom can be too dangerous. So, you know, you don't know what to do, how to plan your days, and how to be productive. So how did you adjust it yourself?
Right, that's a very interesting question, because I was kind of wondering about that myself. This like this whole I have 24 hours a day. That is just for me. How do I? But I quickly realized that all those years in the army, I have actually learned to structure myself. So when you don't have an outer environment, when somebody don't tell you you have to be here at 9 and you can go home at 5 and you have to do this and you don't have, so you have to make your own deadlines and your own structure of the day. And that was actually not so much of a problem. The biggest problem initially was actually to prioritize. Because I don't know if you can relate, but when you start something new and you don't really know what is most important and what is less important, everything feels so important. Yes. So I felt like I had to do everything right now, at once, today. And that took a while to be able to kind of think, okay, I don't need to do this now. I think that can wait a week or at least a couple of days. But just the structure of getting up at 8 and starting work at 9 and don't go off on other things that kind of take your attention, that requires some mental training and self-leadership. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I have learned a lot about structuring my mind and leading myself in my time in the army. And I also have realized that is so, so important, not just when you're working or starting something new, but it's incredibly important, I think, in all aspects of our life. Yep. And so if there's one thing that I really want to tell people that are younger than me, and I wish somebody had told me like decades ago, is that you have to pay attention to your mind. You have to listen to your thoughts, because your thoughts are so important and they make or break your life. So if your thoughts are not supporting you and not helping you and not positive, because that is so important, when your thoughts is the unconscious part of your mind. You don't really think about your thoughts. You have 60,000 thoughts a day. And if those thoughts take you away to the left or right, you are lost. Yeah. So you have to actually pay attention to your thoughts. And if they don't treat you nice, and if they don't help you out, and if they don't give you the strength to actually carry out and go through with what you really want to do, you have to change them. That's how important it is.
Yeah.
So self-leadership, learn to be a leader of yourself as soon as possible. That is one of my most important, I would say, advice.
So are you also tapping those issues during your coaching services?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I think, you know, the most important part, right? But also when we talk about the change is good, but also a very scary time of our life, because sometimes we want to change, but change can also come with failure, and we don't want to face the failure. We don't want to face the hard stuff, like you say, learning new stuff. So how do we overcome that fear?
Mm. Oh,
any way of overcoming or making it less painful?
Well, can be scary.
Yeah.
That is a great question, and it's also a big question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are more than one answer or more than one way to resolve that, because people are very different.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, first of all, you have to address the fear,
mm-hmm.
because you cannot be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are afraid, just accept that you are afraid and that it doesn't matter. Your fear doesn't decide what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can be scared and do it anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you just have to take away the power of the fear. And then when you have this, because you can do that with small things. You can practice that, you know, do something that you think is a little bit scary. That for some people is actually posting something on social media. Some people find that scary. Other people can find it scary to start a new hobby, to take on a project, to get in touch with someone that they would like to get to know. All these little things can be controlled a little bit by fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we accept that we are scared and we still take that step forward and we make a call or push the publish button or we do the little thing that's not going to kill anyone, you know, mm-hmm. it's not a big
mm-hmm.
deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, afterwards you find out that you survived and the world is the same and it's okay.
Yeah.
So take away the power of the fear and you can do that little by little. When you have done that, you have to kind of realize that you have the power to do anything. You can do anything. The only one limiting you is you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the important things to realize is that often we don't really know that we are limiting ourselves, because what is a limiting little transparent box that we have around our head?
Mm-hmm.
And present itself to us as the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the truth. It's just reality, you know? Mm-hmm. I live in this place. I have this career. I have this family. This is just the way it is. This is my space. This is where I can move. And I remember maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I was starting to think about changing my life around, I was thinking, but what should I do? Because I don't know anything else. I don't have any other skills, you know. So I was looking for, I needed to change, but I was initially looking for something resembling what I was already doing.
Mm.
Because that was a mental limitation that I had in my mind, that I have to be within this box because this is where I belong. This is what I can do and this is what I have done.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a little while to realize that there exists a world outside of that box, right? So I can do anything. And when I realized that I can go from being an army officer in north of Europe to moving to Havana on the other side of the world and starting a travel blog, I don't think you get more something that's more opposite.
Yeah, and the world and off spectrum, yeah.
So we just want to say you can do anything. You can do anything. And once you really feel that, when you have that as a truth inside you, mm-hmm. that is when you start to see beyond your limitations, because you will look for opportunities and possibilities and solutions, and you will no longer look for the limitations or the proof that you have already decided, oh, I can't do this. And there and there and there, you see like the proof for why you can't do this. That could be a spouse or family members that is worrying about you, or the fear of, I don't know, social expulsion, whatever. But, you know, 98% of our fears never happen. 98% of what we worry about just doesn't happen. And the last few things that does happen usually teaches us that it's not dangerous to fail. You know, even if it goes wrong, it goes well. So what we think about as failure, or what is easy to think about as failure, I will challenge everyone to stop thinking that word and just think about it as a lesson or learning and something that you can use in your future when you are planning for your next extremely rewarding adventure.
I think it's very true what you are saying, very powerful things. And most of the women in their 30s, they believe that, you know, once they have like their career like going, you know, they are thinking that they made so much investment for their education, you know, they spent their years, their, you know, finances and everything for that education. And now that they have their career, it's very hard for them to change it. But actually, you know, if you are not happy with that career, of course you should not maybe make that change right away in one step. But like you said, you can take small steps, small changes, and see if the change that you envision is working for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think. Because if your fear is paralyzing, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with fear, or the annoying thing, you know, with any emotion that we have, mm-hmm. is that just it comes from us. It comes from us. So there's no one else who can actually really help us change our emotions. Even if it's a good emotion, even if it's a emotion of happiness, love, safety, it is an emotion that comes from us. And it is triggered by something inside of us based on what we experience on the outside. But, you know, the emotion comes from inside of us, which is a blessing in disguise, I think,
mm-hmm.
because on the bright side, you can change and control your emotions, or you can at least explore your emotions and try to find out if they are representing a truth or a reality. You know, some people have a fear of spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have fear of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you define, how do you decide if your fear is rational, real, or if it isn't? And you can do that by finding out the details and finding, you know, the data about whatever you have fear about. Is it true that this spider is poisonous? No. Is it going to kill me? No. Okay. It's an irrational fear. So is it true that people are going to hurt me? Well, probably not. But sometimes they might. And that's, you know, that's a fact. Should that stop me from meeting people? Probably not. How can I mitigate, you know, the risk and then go on from there?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are a lot of ways to work with yourself or with a partner or with a therapist. If you have a fear that is limiting you very much from living the kind of life that you want to have, I think.
Yeah. And it requires a lot of self-discovery, right? And what is the best time to discover yourself? I think when you are traveling by yourself, so you have time to, I bet that traveling time teach you to yourself one more time, right? You learn many new things about yourself and about what you want in your life, right?
That's true. At least it is for me. And also everyone else, solo female travelers that I meet and connect with, mm-hmm. in real life or online, there are so many Facebook groups and Instagram, you know, accounts where you can join if traveling alone is something that you want to try. And although, you know, travel in general and solo travel in particular might seem like something completely different from coaching and self-discovery and self-leadership, in my opinion, it really isn't. It is just, it's one way of doing, I mean, like you say, when you travel, there is no other, well, might be, but there are few other situations better suited to teach you about yourself than when you are traveling alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I meet so many people who want to do that, and then they have this fear, you know, they think it's scary. Well, let me tell you, I have so many advice. You know, I'm going to send you the link to my travel blog as well, because I have some articles about traveling alone. But you don't have to travel, you know, 24 hours across the world to be a solo traveler.
Of course.
You can start going out to dinner on your own, you know, in your town. That is something that you think is scary. Apparently, you know, going out to eat in a restaurant by yourself, is the fear of that is so common that it actually has a name. A lot of people are scared to go out and eat alone because, because they think that they look like losers or weird or something. They sit there by themselves. But, you know, I think probably the opposite is true. If you're a normal person but look normal and you're sitting by yourself at a table at a restaurant, at least I would think, you know, this is a solo traveler. Wow, that's cool.
No, they are very cool. And when I'm, you know, the kids are with my friend, I sometimes, if I see a person eating alone, I'm like, oh my God, that's so calming.
Yeah.
That's like you with your own thoughts. But I never do it. Maybe like I will just, like you said, start little by little and
if you want to, I mean, you don't have to. If you hate to eat alone, you don't have to eat alone. But I mean, if you really want to try out the do-it-yourself thing, have a meal by yourself. It could be lunch or even just a coffee half an hour. Try to sit alone at the table and not feel uncomfortable, or at least stay with the feeling and find out that it goes away and things are okay. And the other thing you can do is just travel somewhere short, you know, short distance from where you live. You can take a night at a hotel or go sleep out in the open in a tent if you are close to nature. Just like take 24 hours and expand your horizons for what you feel comfortable doing yourself. And at some point, you know, I've traveled solo most of my life, shorter or longer distances. It wasn't really a thing for me. It sometimes was a necessity. Because I had time off when nobody else had time off. And so my alternatives was stay at home and do nothing, or, you know, travel and discover by myself. So I did that. And the first time that I did this really long journey was when I lived 6 months in South America. And I remember actually, I was a little nervous, but I remember when I was on the tarmac, heading out to the first plane, leaving Norway, I had a specially designed, you know, playlist on Spotify called, I don't know, Solo Travel or something. And I started crying just because I was so happy.
Right.
I had like this 6 months ahead of me that was just mine. And I had this amazing experiences to come. And so it was a sense of freedom that I have difficulty putting into words.
Right.
And so if that is something that people listening to this would like to do, have a dream that they would like to do that, then you can achieve that dream by taking baby steps and do things, small things until you feel safe, bigger things until you feel safe. And at some point, you are going to be able to travel the world solo and find out that not only are you surviving, you are going to thrive. Because most people are so much stronger and more confident than they know.
Yes.
So it's an extreme journey in self-discovery and self-reliance and self-confidence.
Wow. That's unbelievable. And I'm going to try it. And I'm going to report back to you, and also maybe report it on this podcast. And I think your people who are looking for your coaching services will be very fortunate, because like I said, you have, I think, the power of the both world, like structured world adapted to a very freestyle world. You know the structure of being unstructured. I don't know, like it sounds silly, but I understand.
I understand what you mean.
But like, it's very important.
Yeah.
And creating, I think, your own routine, your own priorities, and adapting them to your life. It's a big journey, self-discovery, and also fighting with limiting beliefs, right?
Exactly. Can I tell you a story?
Sure, sure.
I was just thinking about that because when we talk about this, the self-leadership, the resilience, the grit, and, you know, the mind over matter thing, you know, mind over matter was a big thing for me in my 30s, and it still is. But now I have a little bit more relaxed view of it because when I was younger, mind over matter for me was like, it was almost like I was punishing myself into sharp exercise or extreme, you know, results in things. But now it's like, yes, I still need to have that structure, but I also allow myself to relax now. And I can feel that I'm good enough. But I had this one really cool experience when it comes to what you actually are capable of. And yes, I'll just tell a story because I was walking the Inca Trail, which I recommend. It's wonderful. I did this for, I think, 4 nights, 5 days trail. Mm-hmm. And even though it's a bit of a touristy thing, you know, there are lots of people there. Mm-hmm. In long spaces of that journey, I didn't see anyone but myself. So I was actually walking in the mountains of Peru. Oh. And it felt like I was the only person there, you know, in all this with the ruins and everything. So that was wonderful. The, I think, second morning, we were challenged by our group to do what they call the Sherpa challenge. You know, the people carrying all big backpacks in the mountains. And in our group, I think we were like 8 or 9 people who said, yeah, we'll do that. And that is, we start in the morning and we get to carry, you know, this huge backpack that is normally carried by the Sherpa. Mm-hmm. And it's a competition. So everyone who is in it, we have to start from the campsite and then we start a steep uphill of the mountain. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know how far we were going. So we just had to walk until someone said, now you're done, right? Yeah. And I didn't really think about what that encompassed at the time. But in retrospect, I can see my whole experience in things that I have done, mind over matter things, in my army service. Because we started this walk. I think there were me and 2 other women and the rest were men. And we walked up. And what did I do? I did what I always do. I take 1 step at a time in my pace. I'm below the acid threshold, I don't go too fast, and I don't give up, right? So I walk up, and I think a few people were behind me, but most people were ahead of me. And then after like 5 minutes, the first person, I pass the first person. 10 minutes, I pass the second person. 15 minutes, I pass the third person, who says, oh, I'm giving up. And the fourth person, and the fifth person, and they're giving up. And at the end, I passed the last person in front of me, a man, and he was standing like bent forward and he was absolutely crushed. And I passed him in a slow pace, step after step after step, because I was doing it in my pace and it was not an option to give up. And that is a mindset thing. You just don't give up. You know, no one who never gives up can fail. You will just have a bit of a drop down and then you're on again. So one step, I'd say 1 step at a time and never give up. And I was the first person to the top. I won the Sherpa challenge that day. Cool. And I feel like that is a picture or an illustration of how you touch huge problems or something in your future that you don't know exactly how to deal with. You take 1 step at a time and you find a solution to the first problem you see. And then you take another step and you find a solution to the next problem that you see. And suddenly you're at the top and you're there first, you know. So just have that faith. So I want to say that so strongly. Have that faith. Don't give up. You can do anything.
Oh my, that's a very powerful story, and I could like picture you doing this, and I'm gonna make my also like my kids. I have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old listen to mm-hmm. this story, because I speak not only to women in their 30s but to people all in all ages.
So yes,
it's very powerful, and I can really understand what you are saying, what you are talking about, what you are implying. So that's a very, very, very strong story. Oh, wow, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. It taught me a lot too.
Yeah. Well, oh, I bet.
Until after.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yes. Small steps at your own pace, but
yes,
without giving up. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. You never give up.
Very powerful. Yeah. Well, as you know, I also have 3 questions for you.
Yeah.
And my
And
my first question is, what were the breaking points in your 30s that made you change your point of view, your beliefs, or your lifestyle? And how did they change them for you?
Right. So if I have understood the question correctly, I hope so, mm-hmm. is that during, you know, I had, when we talked about the content of this podcast, I actually had to go back and like make a timeline for myself.
Oh, yeah, you called me.
The year when I turned 30 and what happened like in that decade of time. And so I remember that when I turned 30, I was really happy because I felt that I was young enough, but old enough, you know, young and still like I had a bright, hopefully future, but old enough to kind of have some impact and to feel that I had a little bit of experience that I can use and kind of demand respect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that I really, from my mindset in my early 30s until like the mindset that I ended up when I turned around 40, is I started kind of questioning career. What is a career, right? You talked about it briefly in the beginning, but when you start out making decisions, like really important decisions for your life about what school you're going to go to, what university you're going to go to, what kind of education you want to have, you're so young, you know? You can be 16, 17, 18. And that is a really young age to make really important decisions. And so I don't think until the end of my 30s, I had kind of the mental surplus, the ability to think about what choices I had made in my 20s and why. So because the 30s was basically a time when I was working with the consequences of my 20s before I started reevaluating my choices in my 40s. So I think one of the big things was, what is a career to me? What is a career? Do I really need to be the boss of 20 people, 100 people, 200 people? Is that what I want with my life? Do I need something that gives me social credibility? Is it important for me to say I have a degree in this or a degree in that? And so I think the breaking point was, I have simply redefined career. Career is that I can make a living out of something that makes me really, really happy. And if that is situation that I'm in, that's a career for me. So,
like you said, you know, career is very important in our lives and of course in our 30s. And it's very important how we define career, the place of the career in our life. Is it something that defines us, or is it something that we use to facilitate our life? So it's very important. But it's also changeable. So, and I think, you know, like I said before, some people think that it's not a changing time anymore. Now that they have all their educations, they made, you know, their life maybe accordingly, it's not a changing situation, but you are the living proof that it can change. You can still.
It can change.
And very structured, like I'm telling you, from
another proverb that I live by is that you are always only one decision away from a completely different life.
Yeah.
I read that a few years ago, and that is kind of, that's something I held close to my heart. I even say it to myself sometimes when I'm going to have to make a decision. And I'm like, okay, so you're just one decision away now from a completely different life. What yeah. direction do you want to go? And just really take an inner check with me and not an outer check with everybody else, that where do I want to go? Where do I want my life to go from here?
Yeah, that's very important. And our second question is, one thing you swore by in your 30s that you don't believe in anymore?
Because in my 30s, I was really strict and harsh with myself. I was exercising hard. I was working hard. I was partying hard. I didn't really have a lot of self-compassion. So that I have changed. I still work out because I think that, you know, physical exercise and health is really important for having a good life. And I still go out and have fun because that's equally important. But now kind of I do everything in my pace. Like I have learned from, maybe I have learned that as well from, you know, the Eco Trail. But
yeah,
I just, if I want to go out and be social, I do it. If I don't feel like it, I don't. If I want to, exercise hard, I do it. If I don't, I'll go do yoga, you know, or I meditate. So I kind of, the thing that I really lived hard by, the strictness of living, I am pulled back on that. And now I kind of live with more self-compassion in all areas. Less FOMO, you know, things don't have to be perfect. And if I don't feel up for something one day, that's okay. You know, it doesn't topple the castle.
Yeah. But do you think also like you also change a big chunk of your life, right? You change your career and so do you think your career also made you like work hard and take everything very, very extremely seriously and extremely by the rules? Or it was something personal, something that you, like a wiseness that you adapted with aging or with lots of experience?
I actually think it's a mixture, because it's kind of the, you know, it's the chicken and the egg question, what comes first. I don't think I would enjoy, you know, having such a long time career in the army if I wasn't in one way or another cut out for it. Mm. And so part of me takes pleasure in pain, if you know what I mean,
uh-huh.
you know, to complete a very challenging race
mm-hmm.
or a very challenging exercise. It is painful when it is happening. And it's kind of a thing that you really have to work with your mind to get through it. Then afterwards, when you have finished and you have accomplished something, it feels really good. So I do think that I already have that predisposition, that I kind of like challenges and I don't mind that they're painful, whether it's emotionally or physically or mentally strenuous. But I also think it can take too much energy. And actually, if you have time for another story, I would like to share something that I realized when I was living in Havana. Because when I started traveling a lot to Cuba, I started dancing. And I used to dance ballroom dancing when I was a child, until I was like 14. And you know, then it was school and then it was army and nobody dances in the army. Mm-hmm. You know, you just go to the gym. So I kind of forgot. And then have all these 20 years with, you know, some tough exercises, but you have long hours, you're out in the cold, you can't sleep when something's going on, and you learn to, the mind over matter thing becomes very strong. So I don't listen to my body because I don't have time. But if I'm tired and I want to sleep and I can't sleep, I can't have that, you know, I can't take that into account. So mm-hmm. you kind of learn little by little to disregard the physical signals that you get from your body.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is how you need to do that in order to do the job and survive and have an okay everyday life. And when I came to Havana and I started dancing, you know, with a partner, and he would try to lead me with his hands, with mm-hmm. like gentle touches. And I didn't get it. I didn't pick it up. I didn't feel it. And I was like, when he said, I don't understand. I mean, I'm pushing really hard. I mean, can't you feel it? It has to hurt. And I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of feel it, but it just doesn't register. It doesn't register as information because I have become so used to not listening to the signals from my body. And I think that is also something that's a really important lesson for people in general, not just people who's been like in the army or have been having jobs or careers where physical things are really important, because I think we all kind of learn during our life to downplay and ignore feelings from our body, because we have stressful environments. It can be stressful family life with children going here and there, and jobs and in-laws and parents and family gatherings and hobbies and everything that goes on. So your own physical, mental, and emotional needs just have to be turned down a notch, so that it doesn't confuse the brain with its needs all the time.
Yeah.
And when that comes up to a certain level, it gets a bit dangerous. That's when it takes a toll on our health, right? Yeah. So I think to be able to be resilient and to have the grit, but like I said earlier, at your own pace, you also need to to stay in touch with yourself and check in and just listen to what you really need. Because there's a big chunk of space and energy where you have like so much resources. You can do pretty much anything, but you can't do everything at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I think that is a really important lesson too.
Yeah.
That's
another very powerful story. Like, you know, I like your stories. And maybe, you know, you already gave the answer of this last question, but I still want to hear it one more time. If your 30-year-old self would be sitting right across you right now, what would you tell her to do or not to do or to be careful with?
Yeah. So I think I'm going to answer that like in two bullets or two things that I really want to share. And I, like you said, I think I've said it in one way or another, maybe before, but the first really, really important thing I wish that I knew when I was 29 and a half is that you really have to listen to your inner dialogue. You really have to listen to yourself, because the way you talk to yourself and about your life will shape your life. And so if you have a really, really narcissistic gaslighting inner voice that tells you that everything is wrong with you, wrong with your career, wrong with your life, and you don't even hear it because it's beneath, you know, the threshold of what you actually pay attention to, it's still going to run your life, and it's still going to create a lot of emotions. Things, feelings of how do you say that? When you don't feel good enough, feelings of fear of failure, that you don't have the basic foundation for the self and for your value, and there are so many issues that is going to come from having a negative inner voice over time. So please, please, please listen to yourself, talk to yourself. And if you speak badly to yourself about yourself, find a way to change that, because that has a direct connection to your quality of life, to your emotional state, to everything that goes on. And the second thing that I wish that I knew and someone told me or that I understood is that I'm unstoppable. I am completely unstoppable and unlimited. And the only person inflicting limits on me is me. So even though it can feel like the limits come from your level of education or from where you live or from your family rules or norms or whatever it is in your environment that feels like just a truth or just a reality, that's not it. the limitation comes from you and your head and your thoughts. So if you have thoughts saying, well, you know, I'm a lawyer, so who am I to become a traveler? I mean, that's a down step, right? Yeah. Or I'm a worker, who am I to become a doctor? That is the only person deciding that is you. You can excuse or you can make excuses and say it's because of everybody else. But, yeah. You know, when it comes down to it, this is your life. You could choose.
Yeah. And 30s are just the beginning, right? 30 is not the end. So we also remind them of that. Because I think sometimes we feel like, you know, after 20s, 30s are, you know, when you seal the deal, you are stuck with what you have in your life. So you have to continue like that. 30s are just, 30s is just the beginning.
Yeah, I might offend someone when I say this, but like, you know, in your 30, when you're 30 years old, you're a baby. That's what I think now.
Well, man, I also think like that, so.
And I just turned 50, and I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm almost halfway, maybe.
No, of course. Like, I think with what you are doing, I cannot imagine you what you are going to do in your 50s. No. Flying to Mars, maybe, you know.
I'm thinking maybe I'll go skydiving when I turn 100.
Okay, well, hopefully we will also have you as a guest again and listen to all these experiences. But yes, I think your energy and this energy and this powerful vibe is coming from yourself, and I can clearly feel it and see it from you.
Yeah.
So, and I hope that people who are listening this podcast will also feel it and maybe come and check your blog and maybe ask for your services. If they ask for your services, how they can find you, how they can reach out to you.
So you have there's all the emails and everything on there. Mm-hmm. But even if you don't, I mean, I'm here. Please send me an email or connect if you want to. Mm-hmm. But if I can like have one last word, it is that you already have this power. It is within you. Yeah. So if you can find it, wonderful. And if you can't and you have a little bit of trouble, call me or someone else. But yeah, can be done. Have an amazing life.
Yeah, that's very sweet. And like I said, your strength, your power is so, like, I can feel it. And it's great. It's very uplifting.
Thank you.
It was great to have you as a guest. I hope to maybe have you one more time, and maybe we can all be focused on traveling, solo traveling, or another topic. I'm sure we will have lots of questions about what we talk. So it was great to have you. Thank you so much, Hera.
And you had so much fun being here too. Thank you so much.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This was so fun. I'm so sorry. First with the recording, then with the like coffee session. But thank you so much. Thank you. It was great though. It was.
Yeah, I think.
And I am planning to run it like maybe next week. I have other recorded session, but this is like very powerful. And I think, you know, with all the stories that you told me, I think this is very special. So
that's good. I'm glad.
It's very powerful. Thank you so much.
It's like, you know, I love this. I love being able to talk about the travel and try to be an inspiration to people because this life, you know. You have so many options.
We should definitely do an episode about solo traveling. I would love to hear it.
Yeah.
Like, how do you prepare? How do you set your mind? How to, like, because this requires a little, you know, exploration too, you know, like before even going to that trip and during that trip. So I would really like to do maybe a session of about like solo traveling.
I probably actually would have to prepare a bit even for that because I have done it so much that I don't really consciously sit down and do the planning that I know that people who never done it would have to do. So, but yeah, absolutely. If I could just have a little bit of time to prepare, I'd be
okay. Let me know when you are ready. Send me an email and we will record it.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Well, perfect. Thank you so much. I will let you know as soon as I'm ready to air it, and I will send you a copy of it too, the raw part, the raw copy, and also the edited thing too.
Right. Did I have your email, right? Or did I just get an invitation?
You should have my email, but I'm going to check it again.
The links. Yeah, I'll send you all the links for everything so you can put it in. And I can, you have like show notes, or do you just have links?
I have the show notes and the links.
So I could write just a short, not article, but like just the short description of the things if you want to get that in there.
Yes. And can you also send me a bio of yours if it's...
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do that. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, perfect. So like I am waiting for those notes and the bio, and also the... whenever you are ready, the solo... Yeah. Traveling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I'll probably, it's like dinner time, but I'll probably be able to set over tomorrow.
Perfect.
Where are you in the world?
I am in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
Right. Yeah.
So you're like 6 hours? No, 5 hours. Now 6:30 p.m. here.
It's 1:30 here. Yeah. 5 hours.
Yeah, 5 hours. Yeah. Little bit. I see the light.
Anytime if you ever stop by in Washington, D.C., I would like to meet you. Like, you know, like
friends who are not too far away. A woman that's working in the army, she's over there with her husband and they're like the family. Oh. I was planning to visit them in September, but then I had to come to Norway because they have this apartment that is finished now and that I'm going to sell. Oh. And everything just right now. So. It's November and I'm in Norway, and that's horrible.
Well, anytime, whenever you are coming to Washington, D.C., please let me know. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy your dinner, and I'm waiting for the things. Okay?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you believe you or somebody you know can be a great guest for this podcast? Please fill out our guest form at masteringyourthirties.com. You can also check our website for announcements for My 30s Club membership, or leave us any suggestion you may have about our next episodes. Listen to the new episode of Mastering Your 30s wherever you listen to your podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, be good to yourself.